Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall, once again here to share empowering information. We're going to talk about matcha tea, lycopene, exercise-induced metabolic benefits. The rhythm of breathing is the key to controlling fear and emotional behavior. A study finds a loss of menin helps drive the aging process. So how do we get it back? I'll talk about that. And common dry cleaning chemicals are linked to Parkinson's. And new information just about 5 minutes ago about a new cause, a major cause of Alzheimer's from the top number one holistic dentist in America, Dr. Elmira Goodall. So we have a lot to share just in the health segment, but even more after that. We begin with, and again, everything I choose is based upon peer-reviewed literature. Everything comes from the Library of Medicine, so it's orthodox. And this is the irony for those, and we have a lot of new listeners, by the way, around the world. Earlier in my career, when I would go out and debate on health issues, it was always, well, you're not a medical doctor, so you're not the authority. And yet the medical doctor had no background in human nutrition. Nothing in environmentalism. And I was an environmentalist, with the banning of DDT, helped lead that movement based upon the great work of the woman who really started the environmental movement in the United States. And do you remember who she was? I'll tell you her book. She was a marine biologist. It was called Silent Spring. Do you know who she is? You should read Silent Spring. In any case, so I didn't have the academic credentials. I would later get them. But I had the common knowledge, and I had the facts. So I would look at the scientific literature and find the truth for what was used in natural and alternative healing. So the biggest supporter and the greatest validator of alternative approaches to disease, you guessed it, orthodox science and medicine. It's just one of those secrets, but it's there. So for example, from the Kumamoto University in Japan, and that, by the way, they're talking about matcha, M-A-T-C-H-A. It's a traditional Japanese tea, and they've been touting it in Japan for as long as you've had the tea, which is a long time, and it can boost your mood. It can help with mental performance in humans and laboratory animals. And so what is known as an adaption. It can adapt almost any situation and help the body. So the researchers from Japan evaluated the antidepressive effects of matcha tea and in the laboratory. And the powder activates dopaminergic neural circuits and improves depression in the mice. So why couldn't it work with humans? It could. Depression is currently the most prevalent mental disorder. It's not a disease, a disorder in the world. And the number of people affected continues to grow, especially younger people. Now, although the onset of depression varies among individuals, it's believed that the disease commonly stems from reduction in dopamine in the brain. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter and a hormone, and it plays an important role in elevating one's mood and making a person feel happy and accomplished and motivated. And when you're running, you're really hitting the important hormones in the brain, and these hormones then secrete what is known as a feel-good euphoria. It's called the runner's high. And the longer you run, the further you run, the easier it becomes mentally. And as a long-distance runner, an ultra-marathoner, an ultra 30K, 50K racer, I've done over 84 marathons, won a few, I will tell you in my category, I can tell you that at about the 15-mile mark, you're in a completely different emotional state. You're feeling good. Now, your body, if you train right, will also be fine. And I just always visualize, like I'm going out in reverse, I'm going out for a race, and I'm on the 26th mile as I begin the race. Now the next mile is the 25th, and I count down. But then I start visualizing, gee whiz, a 10K is just one loop around Central Park, 6.2 miles. I do that at the when I'm at the, you know, the 10K level. So every mile then, oh, now I just got to run around the park 5 miles, then 4 miles, a small loop, then three. And so when I'm on the last mile, it's then the first mile. I just run it in reverse. It just mentally it makes it easier. But the dopamine coming out of my brain is allowing me, along with the endorphins, to feel really comfortable. So one of the reasons that we like certain things like sugar and sex, it gives us dopamine highs. In some people it lasts longer, in other people shorter. But a drug doesn't do that for you. Contrary to popular belief, there is no study that can prove that there is a brain chemical imbalance. You'll see all that in my new documentary, the hardest hitting documentary I've ever done, the most important documentary I've ever done, because it's going to impact the most people ever. And we're in final post-production editing. We're just getting in the final B-roll. It should be done within 4 weeks. I'll be coming to New York then to premiere it. But dopamine, a neurotransmitter and hormone, that's what allows you to feel good. So consuming matcha tea has shown to improve anxiety-like behavior, and this cat study also in mice by activating dopamine function via dopamine D1 receptor signaling. The resultant dopamine boost could improve the symptoms of depression as well. So that's what they found in this study. Good for them. So you feel better, you feel more up, you feel more optimistic, and it's an immunohistochemical. And that means that the brains, especially the prefrontal cortex and the nucleus, what is known as the NAC, the accumulobins in the stress-susceptible mice, after they had consumed matcha tea suspension, these were all regulated. So they felt better. So dopamine hits with matcha tea if you're depressed. From Wayne State University comes a study about lycopene. Lyco, L-Y-C-O-P-E-N-E, P-E-N-E, can help ward off kidney cancer, especially in older women. Now, a higher intake of postmenopausal women of the natural antioxidant lycopene from tomatoes, watermelon, papaya, red grapes, blood oranges, can lower the risk of renal cell carcinoma, a type of kidney cancer. So this was led by a professor of oncology at Wayne State University School of Medicine and made the conclusion after taking a look at this. So just important stuff, simple, easy. Include red fruits and vegetables into your diet. Pomegranate, that's a good one. From Northwestern University, an article published in Cell Metabolism, understanding how exercise induces systemic metabolic benefits. Now, what have you heard me say my entire career on radio and in my writings and lectures? Exercise. The older you get, the more important the exercise becomes. Because when we start to get older, two things happen against us. One, we lose human growth hormone. That means we don't have the same testosterone levels, estrogen levels. We don't have the same muscle mass. We don't have the same strength, grip, balance, flexibility, endurance, and stamina, all of which are important that we had in our youth, whether we used it or not. But also, a second thing, our body metabolism slows down. The axis of such as the pineal gland and the thyroid gland, that's just two of those, they're multiples, but that slows down. So when it slows down, your body starts to go through the beginning of senescence, meaning, okay, you're in your twilight years, take it easy. Why? Because historically, the people in tribes would have the oldest people do simple things like gathering berries or things off the ground. where the younger people would be more active and the youngest males would go out and hunt and bring back what they could. But because nobody had refrigeration and nobody had regular meals, and it might be a day or two or a week in between meals, the body began to change at the metabolic level. And so when you were pregnant, you were very inactive because whatever weight you had on you had to be for you and the developing fetus. And so we all have, but women in particular have, a biological mechanism that says if you are not active, it's because you need to conserve fat. So then it makes it more difficult for inactive people to lose fat, but active people can lose fat. And that's one of the ways you do it. There are several ways, but one is just become more active. So the irony of it is, in America, and I can remember, I'm sure you do too, when there would be times when we would play softball, but the older people were relegated to being referees, and the younger ones would play. And why couldn't the older ones play? Because, well, you're older, take it easy. Just the opposite is what should have happened. We were doing everything backwards. So now when I have someone who has a very serious case of cancer, I have them active. Oh, yeah. They're working the body in every way they can because that's bringing oxygen in, and that oxygenation and the physical activity starts reversing the metabolic process so that they're losing weight, gaining muscle, and have higher oxygen, which destroys cancer cells. That's why hyperbaric is one of the best single things you can do for cancer. But no hospital that I'm aware of in America does it because, quite frankly, they're not aware of it. Could they be aware? Of course they could. Is it in the scientific literature? Of course it's in the scientific literature. But that's not the scientific literature that they're taught in medical school. They're taught specific ways of dealing with conditions. And hyperbaric, outside of the bends and for fire burns, that's it. Well, there's a stroke. Best thing you can do, the best thing, number one thing you should do, if someone has a stroke, get them immediately into a hyperbaric oxygen chamber in a hospital because that can protect the brain from the continuing deterioration that will continue to occur for up to 7 years after a stroke. But we're not doing it. Is there more than enough clinical evidence and scientific evidence to support its efficacy and safety? Yes. But we have a lot of things that can improve safety and efficacy that are not used at all. That's why I share this information with you. So here's what Northwestern University has to say. The scientists have uncovered a mechanism by which exercise activates metabolic benefits in the body. This is new to them. It's certainly not new to all of us in the field. During exercise, autophagy, A-U-T-O, autophagy, P-H-A-G-Y, that's the body's cellular recycling system that allows old or damaged cells structures to be broken down. It's activated in both contracting muscles and various non-contracting organs, such as the liver. So when you exercise, you're getting rid of a lot of cellular debris that you need to get rid of. You need to clean out the cells. You need to clean the bloodstream. And you ask the average person in the health field, how would you clean the bloodstream? What? What are you talking about? No, I mean detoxification. There are certain chlorophylls like wheatgrass and chlorella, spirulina, green juices. These are the great detoxifiers. They engage in chelation. What's chelation? Well, it comes from the Greek meaning chele. It's claw-like, where they trap heavy metals, lead, cadmium, mercury, and take them out of the blood through the urine. Never heard of it. Can't be real. Well, there's a lot of studies on it. In fact, the FDA approves chelation for children with lead poisoning from paint. Okay, but that's just lead poisoning from paint. I see. So the lead that's in paint that is approved for chelation therapy as a normal action, the lead from anything else is not approved? Because of why? That's like saying we have found a wonderful, wonderful diet that can help you if you have brain cancer. Okay, glioblastoma, astrocytoma. That's terrific. Could I use that overall to prevent cancer? No. Could I help myself with lung cancer? No. Why not? Well, it hasn't been proven yet. So you're saying, listen carefully. Listen very carefully what I'm about to say. If we find something that will help a major killing cancer in the body because it was studied, clinical studies done, trials done, and it was proven efficacious and safe, we cannot then say that it may also help other cancers in the body because it hasn't been tested and proven yet. That's correct. All right, so that's how far we've evolved in our capacity for critical thinking. Yes, we're very slow and very resistant. It takes a long time, even when something has been shown to be dangerous and wrong. It generally takes upwards of 28 years to get rid of it. I see. Okay. Wow. And that's an understatement. So anyhow, you need to exercise. You need autophagy. You need your cells to be cleaned out. And if you do, your cells can perform longer, be healthier, and you can live longer. It's that simple. And that's what this study showed. So, and especially for the liver. Now, I've watched a yogi who came to the United States. I believe it was Mitchell Raven who brought him into my office. We had a conversation, and I said, let's go downstairs to our studio. We're going to film you. Okay. And we filmed this gentleman who I was told was 110. I don't know how old he actually was, but that's what I was told. He looked it. He had a long white beard and long white hair, and he was showing me breathing. So he said, take my pulse. Well, Dr. Feldman was there and took his pulse. And take my blood pressure, and took his blood pressure. He said, now, that is a normal pulse. Look at what breathing can do, and mindful focus. So he took a few moments, he closed his eyes and started this breathing process. And then he asked to have his pulse taken again. And his pulse went down to 30. Now, we wouldn't want our pulse down to 30. You don't want that. But he had it down there to 30, and he said, I could take it lower. And I said, no. No, you've made your point. You've shown us. Because I saw within 2 minutes before and after. So his breathing was controlling his pulse. And he said, now, I can control fear. I can control anger, I control rage just by breathing and focusing upon the healing nature of my breath. And he did so. And he did a lot of things. The most important thing he did is he did a balancing act, and we filmed this, that maybe an 18-year-old gymnast could do. He balanced his entire body on his forearm. And his whole body was straight out. I'm looking at this, and I can't do that. And I was a top athlete. I couldn't do that. And no one I knew could do that. But he did it at supposedly 110 years of age. In any case, no matter what his actual age might have been, it got our attention. Just want to share that with you. Because here's what Northwestern University has confirmed, something that the yogis and the deep meditators and the Buddhists who meditate have known for the millennia. We live in a fearful world. We are all exposed at different levels and to different degrees and different outcomes with a deluge of stressful stressors every day. As much as fear is a result of reacting to the actual or perceived events in our lives, it is also a biological function of the human body. And when equipped with an understanding of how the body manages the stress system, we can easily outsmart it. In effect, we can condition our body to not overreact at the emotional level. And this perspective is scientifically validated by new research from Northwestern University, the Feinberg School of Medicine, which discovered how the various rhythmic patterns of breath profoundly impact memory recall, and the emotional body, specifically the fear response. Have you ever noticed when you get afraid, you start breathing through your throat and not your chest, and your muscles begin to contract, and your adrenaline starts to rise? Well, the brain creates electrical impulses which link physical function to emotional reactions. And the electrical activity of the brain is deeply affected by our breathing patterns. The outcome of this balance is to determine whether or not we are inhaling or exhaling, as well as if we are breathing through the nose or the mouth, as each variable creates a different electrical response within the brain. In the Northwestern study, participants were shown images of human expressions, some frightful, while engaging in various patterns of breathing. Researchers observed that people more easily process fear and more readily recall images while inhaling through the nose. One of the major findings of this study is that there is a dramatic difference in the brain activity in the what is called the amygdala, A-M-Y-G-D-A-L-A, and the hippocampus, hippo, like an hippopotamus, H-I-P-P-O, campus, C-A-M-P-U-S. So between the amygdala and the hippocampus, during inhalation, when you're inhaling, compared with exhalation or exhaling, and when you breathe in, we discover you're stimulating neurons in the what is called the olfactory cortex, amygdala, and hippocampus, all across the limbic system. Now, the amygdala is decisively linked to the processing of emotions, especially those related to fear, while the hippocampus is strongly linked to the memory recall. And the breath, which originates in the diaphragm, plays the critical role in regulating their function. So breathing is modulated at the diaphragm, and it also to the location where many physical symptoms associated with fear and anxiety manifest, like your heart. The differences in brain activity which occur during unique breathing rhythms were recognized by looking at brain activity during the introduction of fearful or surprising human faces, finding distinctly heightened activity during inhaling. Knowing this can be highly advantageous when you realize that your fear reaction is working overtime. Furthermore, this future validates the importance, or further validates the importance of meditation, which commonly centers on developing control of your breath in order to quiet the mind and normalize physiological functions. And this is called meditation practice. And you can have a more stable and optimal emotion reaction to the world around you and to events in your own personal life if you just do the following. When something happens, someone says something, you see something, and you don't like it or fearful, before reacting, take a step in your mind back and say, let me count to 10 slowly. When I get to 10, I'm going to then say, relax, relax. Let yourself breathe deeply. Inhale through the mouth and relax and exhale slowly. And calm yourself and keep saying the word calm, calm, calm. And the next thing you know, cortisol and your stress hormones come down. Your breathing goes from your neck and through your nose down into your diaphragm and the mid-lung, and that's what you want. That's why in our Natural Living Room and Walking Club, one of the very first things we do within about a month of people starting their training is we do a whole day on, well, what amounts to about 4 hours in the park, of breathing exercises. So we're not breathing up, we're... As a result, breathing is half of running, half of exercise. I've been in races. In fact, there was one person who commented upon this recently. She said that I was in the park on a Sunday morning and there was a big race. It was a championship race for the all of the region, and the top athletes were there. And you were in there, and halfway through the race, you were pretty far back. And a couple of people who were from your Natural Living Running Walk Club says, well, Gary's out of this race. And then you look like you went into a different place. Your legs stretched out further, much further than your normal gait, and your arms were relaxed, but you were almost turning white, and you started to pick up the pace, and you could see that you were just gaining, and with one lap to go, you were half a lap behind the top elite athletes, and you caught them and finished at the finish line. You won the race overall. And no one could figure out how in the world you did that. And to this day, I don't know how you did that. But it impressed me because I'm thinking something went on in his brain, something went on in his body. And I explain what happened is that I was conserving my energy. Frequently, I'm the last person out in a race, dead last. But then other people are running hard. They're breathing, and I'm watching. They're breathing up through their neck. Their body is tight. They're striking too far up on the foot. And then when they get tired, their arms come down. Their head comes down. They're gasping for breath. They got lactic acid buildup, and I'm still relaxed. I don't have any lactic acid. I have energy. I haven't used up my adrenaline. I haven't gone into that mine. And then I go into the zone and I tell my cells, you're free to run as fast as you can. And suddenly they're running fast. My cells are. I maintain my breathing. I'm not breathing any faster or harder, even though I'm going faster, because I started off breathing deep. I'm continuing breathing deep. And then I pick up pace, and then I save my kick for the last full mile. Most athletes train to kick in the last 100 yards. That's when you see them letting it all out and going for it in the stretch. I start that a mile before then. And not that I'm a better runner or faster runner or better athlete, but I set a lot of records, national, world records, track records. I'm second or third now in Florida. I just set a new record and in the 2 mile. Won the gold in the 3,000 meter in the state championships a couple months ago. I intend to go for 3 more records, not because I'm faster. Again, I want to emphasize that, but because I'm running differently. I'm breathing differently. I'm allowing my cells to say, oh, it's not, oh, I feel tired. Oh my God, I hope I can finish this. No. And that's true of all of the athletes who became national champions. Some of the greatest athletes in track and field history were regular people, Sam Skinner and Queenie Thompson, Thelma Wilson, who's out there now, and Joan Rowland, and probably one of the best athletes in world history I just want to make sure he's still with us. I know he was a little sick. I'll mention him on an upcoming program. There are films of him and I racing in indoors and talking afterwards. But all these people learn these same techniques. Free your mind and your body will follow. Have any doubts of what you can do and your body constricts, your muscles constrict, you automatically slow down. Just want to share that because that's a metaphor for much of life. What won't you do that you could if you weren't fearful, if you weren't insecure? Think of your life being different when you're not coming from being constricted by fear, uncertainty, insecurity, and limitation, guilt, and shame. So that's that. Now, those are our studies. Oh, and by the way, there is a system in the body when we lose what is called menin, M-E-N-I-N, that helps drive the aging process. You age faster. But there's one dietary supplement called D-serine, S-E-R-I-N-E, that can reverse it in mice. This is from Zeman University in China, and it was published in PLOS Biology. More on that on an upcoming program. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break because we're almost, well, we are halfway through our program. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the world who are listening. Thank you. Please remember, this information is of no value if you don't value its importance. Ask yourself this. Challenge everything that I share with you. Hopefully, in the majority of what we share, you will see that it is important. You're not getting it from other media, and certainly not with the scholarship that we put into our work at PRN. But it does no good to anyone if you just listen to it and say, okay, glad to know it, but doesn't matter, I'm not going to do anything with it. Share it with at least five people. Share the video, share the talks. And for example, on my next show, I'm going to be offering a legitimate challenge to Tucker Carlson. I certainly appreciate him being a forum for all the people who were once the major figures within the liberal movement and the Democratic movement who've been ostracized, thrown out, and in effect attacked because they no longer hold to the party line. And he is the one major media that provides a voice for them. That doesn't mean that I support everything he says. I don't. And he is a climate denialist, and so on my next program, I'm going to play you his clip, and then I'm going to show you what he left out that is the larger and scientifically valid proof. And maybe he might, if given to his producers, he might air that, at least the audio part, or invite me or any of the people I know who are scholars on to talk about the environment. But that's what we do. Now, I'm going to play a few clips for you because I believe that these are important. The first clip that you're going to hear, and these are short clips, this is Tulsi Gabbard on Justin Trudeau. We have a lot of listeners in Canada. It's time that you challenged your government. And if you feel that that will not work, move to a country that actually is a democracy because Canada is not.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in Canada has yet again very recently shown just how anti-freedom and anti-democracy he actually is.
We have a robust functioning democracy, and protests, public protests, are an important part of making sure we're getting messages out there and Canadians are getting messages out there and highlighting how they feel about various issues. But using protests to demand changes to public policy is something that I think is worrisome.
Okay. So here we have the Prime Minister of Canada saying that, yes, we have a highly functioning democracy and people's voices, the Canadian people's voices should be heard and they have the right and freedom to protest. However, if those protests are used to demand change in government policy, then no.
Yeah, same way here. And remember, he took an action that is reprehensible and should be to every single liberal, and that is every one of the thousands and thousands of truckers who were protesting different sanctions about COVID. He got all their license plates and facial recognition, and he then froze all their bank accounts with no due process, and these people couldn't pay their bills. He even brought an action against the person who was simply giving out free coffee to the protesters on a cold day. And then they set up people to act out, agent provocateurs, and the Canadian media only saw that, much like what is happening with the dead in Ukraine. Many of those were killed by the Ukrainians, and proof of that from people who were in the villages who told the independent news outlets who were there what was happening, how even Ukrainian soldiers said when they started to leave the battlefield, they were shot by a group of snipers from the from Zelensky's brigades that were meant to allow no one to leave a battlefield, even if you were going to be killed and there was no point to staying. But we don't see that part of a story. So think of it this way. Imagine if America took on Trudeau's idea. You could protest, but you simply couldn't protest anything that dealt with the government or any of its policies. Well, then what is the purpose of a protest? It's Norway. It's Orwellian. Now, here is a mayor of a city who met with a judge and reviewed childhood books that were being taught in school. And here he is approaching the entire school board.
Earl, members of the board, my name is Craig Schubert. I'm the mayor of this city. It has come to my attention that your educators are distributing essentially what is child pornography in the classroom.
Yep.
I've spoken to a judge this evening. She's already confirmed that. So I'm going to give you a simple choice. You either choose to resign from this Board of Education, or you will be charged. Thank you.
God bless Daniel.
That's an exception, but listen to the people plotting. Those are parents. Because right now there's a war on that we've never had in American history. Never, ever, when we were growing up, generation after generation after generation, did a school teacher, let alone the board overseeing the school teacher's curriculum and teaching standards, say that it was all right to share pornography, adult pornography, with children. And now that this is happening on a daily basis in most of the schools in the United States, parents are saying, you can't do that to my child. The teachers' union is saying, yes, we can. We don't need you as a parent. In fact, we're teaching in school that we don't need parents. And you certainly don't want to use the word mom or mother or father or woman or man or brother, sister, aunt, uncle, godparents. Those are terrible words to use. They're racist. So you can't use it. And children are coming home confused, and they're angry. Now parents are finally finding their voice. And we're not talking about a few hundred or a few thousand, hundreds of thousands. We're talking about tens of millions are saying, you can't do this. Do you remember I played you a clip of a drag show for children? Now, you want to be a drag queen? Fine. That's your right. I'm not going to challenge that. I have made no statement on that, as I support freedom of choice. But children don't have freedom of choice. Children should not have freedom of choice. That's why we have parents. You're a parent to parent a child until they're old enough, 18, to make informed choices on their own. And even then, it's unlikely most 18-year-olds will make the right choice consistently. But it was what he said at the very end, where the parents got up and applauded, that absolutely stepped over every line. And this is a new reality. He said, and I didn't want you to hear it because I thought it would be too offensive to most people, but I'll tell you exactly what he said. He said, now, and you can do this, kiss where you pee. Okay, to a four-year-old child, what do you think that means? And then you start seeing in the literature, you start seeing in their books, this type of indoctrination, to me, is not only wrong, it is vile. But this is what's happening in a woke society. This is why people are finding their voice, the silent majority. Good. Here's another clip. This is from Marcel de Graaf. He is a member of the European Parliament, a very important member. Listen to what he's saying, please.
Back in 2021, we had the revelation of emails from the German Interior Ministry that enlisted scientists to scare the population. Last year, it was revealed that the corona figures had been falsified by Dutch Health Minister Hugo de Jonge by inflating the numbers. And now we have the revelation of over 100,000 WhatsApp messages from former British Health Minister Matt Hancock. The British Daily, The Telegraph, has put them online as the lockdown files. From all these revelations, it has been shown time and again that the coronavirus was no more deadly than other cold and flu viruses. As we know from flu and colds, these can be fatal to vulnerable, very old people. But for anyone under 80, these viruses are almost never fatal. And so it was with COVID-19. It was a common cold virus. Minister Matt Hancock had a discussion with then Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Boris Johnson, via WhatsApp about this low mortality rate. This was a problem because it meant vaccination targets would not be met. The lockdown files also show that in addition to the vaccines, other corona measures were mainly intended to instill fear of the virus in the population.
Yes, Gary, we
the
have
revelations
standing
in Germany, the Netherlands, and now especially in the United Kingdom show that the same corona policy was deliberately followed in all these countries, which had nothing to do with the nature of the coronavirus itself. The lockdown files show that no special measures were needed given the low mortality of the virus. The British government switched from publishing mortality rates to publishing the number of infections. The entire EU then switched and reported on corona in the same way. Pushing through the vaccines and introducing the corresponding digital corona certificate was the real goal. For this, no means were shunned. Unvaccinated people were not simply portrayed as irresponsible, but as antisocial, dangerous enemies of the state. There were threats of incarceration and forced vaccination. Unvaccinated people were fired. People were locked in their homes via curfews. Hospitals and nursing homes prohibited partners and children from visiting their sick spouse or parents, even when they were dying. From the beginning, there were medical experts who scientifically argued the futility of the imposed measures and warned against the vaccinations. Doctors who protested were silenced on social media. Doctors who prescribed effective drugs were punished with heavy fines and revocation of their registration. The lockdown files show that the unvaccinated and critical doctors were right, that there was absolutely nothing right about the government policy. What also emerges from the lockdown files is the involvement of Bill Gates. Matt Hancock literally apps about Bill Gates. He owes me one. In other words, Bill Gates owed him one because Hancock had millions of his vaccines injected. This so-called philanthropist bought shares in Big Pharma for $50 million, and after the corona hype, they were sold for $500 million. The contracts with huge sums of money signed by governments with the pharmaceutical multinationals are still not public. The correspondence between Pfizer and the EU President Ursula von der Leyen is still secret. The messages between Dutch Minister Hugo de Jonge and Prime Minister Mark Rutte about corona have supposedly been erased. It looks like the European Commission and governments of EU member states were as aware of corona's low mortality as the British government. Their policies are almost identical. The flawed PCR test was accepted EU-wide. The digital corona certificate became an international travel document, and even the wording is almost identical. Several countries at the same time were talking about vaccinating from neighborhood to neighborhood, from house to house, from arm to arm. The measures lacked any reasonable ground, yet violated basic human rights, fundamental freedoms. Physical and mental integrity were violated without justification. There must be government accountability for this in every state. As a member of the European Parliament, I demand that the European Commission come to the Parliament to account for this. Therefore, I ask the President of the European Parliament to urgently put on the agenda for the next Strasbourg session a debate on the lockdown files with Ursula von der Leyen. We will see whether the European Parliament wants to take up its controlling task or whether it's complicit in the biggest scandal of the century.
He is right. All of the science is supporting what he's saying, and now we're hearing voices we've never heard before, and that's good news. We have a Dr. B.D. Cohen who's going to be standing by in just a moment, but I want to offer you two issues. One is, I was going to spend a lot of time today discussing the banking scandals and what's happening and the real truth of all of it that is yet to be heard. I did it partially for a half hour yesterday on Nutrice Lead Show, but I'm going to do it on Monday at the very beginning of the hour for about a half hour. So that's Monday. Also, we have a special for you today with some brand new things that have been out of stock, including our phenomenal dark chocolate. Here's the special. You're going to get the best of the aloes that I could find. I created this aloe, Heavenly Aloe Cherry Berry. It's a big 32-ounce jar. You're getting that. You're getting two bars of the organic mint dark chocolate, 70% dark chocolate. You're getting the award-winning documentary, How to Add Healthy Years to Your Life. You're also getting a brand new, we just completed it, the brand new Gary Nall Complete Catalog of all the books and videos and audios and product. And I believe that Heavenly Aloe should be in everyone's body every day. Why? Because first, the number one aloe in the world is a Barbadanesis, and it is, we use the whole leaf, not just the gel. Most people just use the gel. Ours is organically grown in the down in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. We use the natural Bing cherries, raspberries, and black cherries, Siberian Panax ginseng root extract, Gota Kola extract, wild yam root extract, ginger root extract, peppermint leaf extract. And so we have the best of the best. So look, just I won't tell you all the things that it does. It's vegan, it's non-GMO, and it's gluten-free. But just Google all the things that a whole leaf aloe have been shown to do to your body inside. And then you'll say, wow, I didn't know that. And that's why you should get this. Here is the special. And it's a really good special. I believe you're getting around a 60% discount. And that's a big discount. So all you have to do is call a number, 877-627-5065, and ask for the Heavenly Aloe special. And this would normally cost you $112. It's going to cost you $44. You're saving $67.98. That's a 60% saving. That's a phenomenal savings. You can call Neil in the Vitamin Closet Monday to Friday, noon to 8, or visit him at 646-926-5430. Or go online. You can order directly. It's all gone out today, and all of it is just brand new in stock. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065, because you care about your health. One quick mention, and that is that number 6 in the ongoing anti-aging clinical studies. There's no medicine, there's no drugs. This is lifestyle behavior modification. But you have no idea the hurdles that I've had to go through over the last 3 months since the results were in of our last one, and from multiple foundations and multiple scientific groups, 10 separate scientists had to sign off on just the latest protocol on just the supplements, and I had to have at least 10 different scientific studies for every nutrient that was selected. But this time, I selected the nutrients. They approved it. Last time, they selected it. So I put other things in there that are, I believe, far more beneficial to your cells. Now, what is the purpose of this? The purpose is that in a controlled environment, we're all on campus, a beautiful, magnificent campus, with nature and animals and eagles and peacocks and beautiful lake and a theater and a beautiful 18th century styled French gazebo where we do our meditations and surrounded by aromatic plants. And this year we have two new speakers. We have Dr. Peter Resnick, one of the best psychologists that I know of, and he'll be leading you in dealing with depression and anxiety conditions. every day for an hour and a half. And we also have, as of this morning, Dr. Amala Gadol. Dr. Gadol is America's, in my opinion, number one holistic dentist. And she's going to be talking about new information, brand new, I didn't even know it, of what they're finding about a microorganism in your mouth, a type of bacteria, that if it's not removed, it can lead to Alzheimer's. So she's going to be doing a lecture also in the theater and joining us. Plus, we have all these other workshop leaders doing workshops and different types of stress reduction, breathing, and Tai Chi and energy work with Qigong, plus power walking. And we're all having every one of these are monitored, meaning someone is there to monitor you take your supplements. Someone is there to monitor you take all the juices you have to take through their health drinks during the day. Someone is in the kitchen making sure all the dishes are plated correctly. It's all vegan, gourmet. Every dish is a different dish every day. And then I do lectures throughout the day, and my big one is in the early evening in the Socrates Garden. And we're doing all this for one purpose. Historically, the older you got, the closer to death you became. We believe that we now have the power to not only slow down the aging process. Even our exercise came from the Olympic medical doctor, Dr. Robert Goldman, MD, PhD, who did that protocol. And we're strict. There's going to be a special person in the gym watching you exercise, guiding you, showing you how, and then keeping records. We're going to be doing daily blood pressure and impedance test. So we have meticulous documentation. In fact, one of the comments made this week by one of the foundation directors in anti-aging medicine was, quote, we're sponsoring diabetes and cancer studies right now, and no one comes even close to doing the detailed scientific validation that you do. So we are really heavy on this because what are the consequences? The consequence is this. In 2 weeks on campus and 12 weeks at home, where we work with you every week on Zoom to continue the protocol, stick with the protocols, and you're going to be taking three blood tests, first day, 13th day, 90th day. And you're taking two different tests. You're taking a DNA methylation test, which actually tells you the age of your body, the actual cellular age, and then a test to all the biological markers to show how they improve. We have been able to achieve in our last study 6 months ago that we added 2.2 years onto people's lives, but one person we added 6 years onto their life. And this is not coming from me. This is coming from a major university, and it's exclusive use of a DNA methylation test. So we proved it. So now we don't have to say we hope to be able to slow down the aging process. We've already done that 5 out of 5 times. We're now saying we want to add years onto your life. So the more you adhere to these protocols when you go home, the more years you're adding on to your life. I mean healthy years. You ought to see the people's bodies that are ripped and muscular who are 80 years old. We've got one person who was 95, was able to do a workout that no one would have believed she was capable of doing. Her doctor didn't even want her to come, thought she was too frail. So this is it. This is your one time to say, do you want to slow down and reverse the aging process or not? Now, a lot of people dropped out. I have a lot of reasons for that. I believe that because the older you get, the more lazy you become, less likely you are to be motivated to do anything. Even when you know it's in your, well, why should I? I'm 55 years old. Gary, my life's behind me, not ahead of me. Death's ahead of me, and rejection, loneliness, nonsense. We have a whole way of supporting the emotions and then the techniques and then the protocols. But it doesn't work if you go home and then switch right back off. So we've even done a control group that stayed home, 53 people. None of them were able to complete the study the way they should have. For all the reasons and excuses people give to you, we figured out how this time, when people go home, to incorporate their normal living into the protocol so it's not either or bits and pieces. I grew up where everyone got older after the age of 35. You were over middle age at 35. Everything was expected to slow down, break down, and finally senescence, end of life. It was a ritual. Well, everyone's got a place and time, but they can change their place. You can be healthier, happier, more vital, you can put a whole new purpose in that. We had people came who were terminally ill. One guy had two terminal diseases. So I played you a clip. You've heard him. We filmed him. He's back into life now. He didn't enter hospice care where his two brothers and his father all died. No, he came down there. And we haven't even published that part of the, because we needed the medical documentation before and after to be able to substantiate that. That and five other people were getting their medical documentation before and after. We've gotten some. That'll be at the next article. Our last article is out for peer review publication. It's been approved by all the scientists that it's accurate and it's scholarly and it proves something. As one guy says, landing on the moon was such a historic event, but so what? Extending a person's lifespan, that is more important. Wouldn't you agree? So if you think you cannot de-age, you're right. You won't. You will die on time, whatever time that is, based upon the choices you've made. But if you don't want all the conditions that we say are normal for aging, when they're not, if you want to be vital again and very dynamic again and have your muscle mass back again, then this is for you. If you believe that this is for you, then you'll just give a call to Luann. She's screening people. We have three places left. That's it. 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. And she'll go over everything with you. I'm trying to get some of the foundations to donate for the supplements and the blood test. I haven't gotten feedback yet. Worst case scenario, they don't come through. We have to pay for it ourselves. Or they do come through, in which case that'll be gone first to the blood test, second to the supplements, and to help people. But I can't guarantee that. That's up to them. 903-881-7008. Now let's switch over to Beatty Cohen, who's standing by. And Beatty has a program on Progressive Radio Network every week. It's very popular. Why? Because she gives out information that can help people. And Beatty, I have one question for you, if you could take your time and answer it. We have an awful lot of people in our society who are going through doubt about who they are, what their meaning in life is after COVID and lockdown, jobs lost, divorces, sickness. It really turned everyone's happy life upside down if they had a happy life. What are the suggestions you can give for people who are going through depression, withdrawal, loneliness?
I think the most important things, Gary, is whether or not, you know, we're talking about depression or loneliness, we need to be willing. And you said something really important about how easy it is for us to get very lazy. We need to be serious. We need to be willing to acknowledge and address and resolve the issues, whatever the issues may be. I mean, what I'm seeing more and more, people are Zooming. They're on their devices. They're rarely spending time in face-to-face situations. More and more people are working from home. And what's happened, instead of all the connection that we're supposed to be really, you know, experiencing, people are feeling more and more and more disconnected, you know, as time is moving on. We have to get away from our devices. We have to stop playing games in the middle of the night. I mean, I talk to patients and people are up in the middle of the night. They're playing puzzles. They're doing all these certain, you know, crazy kinds of behaviors. And then they're wondering why they're feeling depressed. They're not exercising. They're not taking vitamins. They're not getting out. They're not meeting face to face with other people. There aren't the kinds of positive, personal, face-to-face interactions that we all need in order to feel healthy, in order to be happy. We're neglecting ourselves in a variety of different ways. We're neglecting our relationships. So I think it's time, Gary, for people to really wake up and make a decision that if we're going to make some changes in our lives, it's not just enough about thinking about it and dreaming about it, but making a decision today. As you know, I say to people all the time, today, every day is a new day. Every day there are new possibilities to regroup and to find ourselves on a more positive, constructive path versus the self-destructive, self-sabotaging path that so many people these days are on. So the good news is that with your kind of motivation and the motivation that I give people on my show and in my practice, we have an opportunity every single day to pivot and change how we are living and do what is in our best interest so that we're able to then improve, you know, our own lives and our own relationships. So it's a decision that we need to make. And of course, we don't need to navigate this life on our own. And the very best thing that people can do, of course, is reach out and ask for good professional help if you're finding that you're really struggling and you're going around in circles and really getting nowhere.
Thank you, Beatty. Beatty Cohen, C-O-H-A-N. What's the time and day your program's on?
Well, it is every Monday afternoon from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you very much, Beatty. And people who want help, who need support in the changes they're making in their life, tune in to Beatty Cohen because she spends the hour helping people. I'm Gary Noll. We're out of time. And standing by, going right into her show, is Utrecht Lead. Have a nice day, everyone.